Father, now as we turn to your word, may it bring forth its fruits to give us strength, to give us all that you desire for it to do, Almighty God. We just want to worship you and glorify your name. And now we give our ears to you so that we'll hear what the Spirit of the living God has to instruct us this day. Your word was written for our instruction, for us to walk with you in the unity of our faith, not only with you, Abba, Father God, and you, Yeshua, our elder brother, but also you, O Spirit of the living God, that everyone who calls himself as a messianic believer in Messiah can walk in unity of one faith in and through the Father, through the Son, through the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Today's message is entitled the Shmicha. And some of you may be saying, well, that's a brand new word, and what does that mean? The Shmicha, from above or from below. And there are times, you know, when the message has to give to receive a little background. Because there's many times when we read the scripture, we just simply just go ahead and say, well, I'm familiar with this and that. We just dive in and we miss what the scripture desires to teach us and to enlighten us on that. And Dr. David Stern, the author of the Complete Jewish Bible, gives some excellent commentary in this portion here. If you want to turn with me now to Matthew chapter 21, Matthew 21 verses 23. But as you're turning there, we're going to have a time of background, a time of instruction here. So the Hebrew word shmicha, which is rendered into the Greek, is exousia, which is the authority. This means learning or the laying on of hands in an ordination ceremony for a judge, an elder, or a rabbi. So the laying of hands in the Tanakh is a symbolic act that confers or transfers an office along with its duties and its privileges by dramatizing Abba Father God's bestowal of blessing and gifting needed for the work. See, God has called each and every one of us to a work in the body of Messiah. And any time in a biblical place where you are joined together in the unity of faith with other believers, the Lord will allow those that he's established in leadership to recognize those giftings and allow you to operate in those giftings so that there will be in the future a laying on of hands and ordaining you into that particular ministry that you're in. And that's part of the biblical design that God has made. And so continuing here, in Judaism, the practice is traced back to Moshe's ordination of Joshua and the 70 elders found in Bamidbar, Numbers 11, 16 through 17. It's also repeated in Devarim, which is Deuteronomy 34:9. But it's also seen, as our sister Grace was sharing today, what is made known in the Tanakh is often repeated in detail in the Brit Hadashah. So we have Acts 8:17, 9:17, 13:3, 19:6, 1 Timothy 4:4 and 5:22, and 2 Timothy 1:6 that talk about the Shmicha, or the ordination of believers being called and equipped by Abba Father God, and then being sent out to fulfill their call in ministry. All right? A rabbinic person ordained was granted the right to judge and decide points of halakha. And what is that? That's a Hebrew word which means the way to walk, or Jewish law. By a board of three elders, and at least one of them had also received the shmicha, the laying on of hands of other elders or other rabbis. So in the Kohanim, the elders who are the Purushim, the Pharisees, are asking Yeshua, and we'll be getting into your verse shortly, what kind of ordination did you receive that entitles you to teach in the authority as you do? And you know, for some of us, it's like, well, duh. We know that he's the Son of God, right? But we have to think from the perspective of the people that are seeing. Because it had been many hundreds of years before there was a prophet of God that was walking around in the land of Israel. Yohanan was the new first one of the Brit Hadashah. And when he came, there was a shaking going on. Because you know what? Things had been going on as it had been going on from night, from sundown to sunup, from day to day. And people had been doing things a certain way. And people did not recognize that the spiritual leaders of Israel were in a backslidden condition. Because they simply trusted their leadership would know the way and lead the people therein. And so what's going on at this time is there's now a division going on. And God is speaking through his holy prophet, Yohanan, the immerser. And so for a couple years, he was about doing what? Calling the nation to repentance. All right? And he was a forerunner to whom? The Messiah, Yeshua. And sometimes, you know what? We miss these things because maybe we're not from that particular culture. This was a brand new thing. And so now for 3.5 years, there was this rabbi that had not credentials from the temple. And he was going about healing the sick, raising the dead, doing all these things, and giving proper interpretation of how the Torah was to be lived out. And so these leaders in the temple were now, finally, Yeshua was in their presence teaching. And they saw the miracles that he was doing within the last couple days in the temple of healing the blind and the lame and allowing the mute to speak. So there was now a struggle because what was happening? The hearts of the people were going after whom? This uncredentialed rabbi from of all places? You kidding me? Nazareth? Okay, so that's the setting that's going on here. And many times, you know, we do not study the historical background because as you're trained in Bible college, you're told to do this. Think along the thoughts of the people at that time, right? They don't have internet. They do not have Facebook. They don't have all these things, all right? So what were the people in their culture? What were they thinking about? What had God enlightened them up to this point according to the Tanakh? How were they hearing? What was their filter? And that's what we're doing today before we get into the scripture. So let's continue here. And so what kind of ordination did you receive that entitles you to teach with authority as you do? That's what the leaders of the temple were asking him. To decide points of halakha as you do. And to disturb the peace in the temple courts. Now, what were they referring to? He came and he chased out all those money changers. And the animals were removed, right? For the sacrifice. He cleaned house. There's a shaking going on here. And so the leaders of Israel have taken notice. They were silent. They had some time to recover because they were in shock. Now this is days later, and now they approach Yeshua, okay? And who dared to give you such ordination so that we can interrogate him too? See, for a rabbi to be a rabbi, he has to have what? The laying of hands of a rabbi or other rabbis, okay? When Shaul and Barnabas were sent out, the apostles laid hands upon them, not to hurt them, but to lay their hands, which was a sign to the people, just like Moshe laid his hands upon Joshua and said, you are now the new leader. I will not be entering the land. You will be the new leader. There was a transference, just like Rav Shaul later, when he took Timothy aside, he laid hands upon him. He said, stir up the gift that's within you. I lay my hands upon you so that you can go and raise up elders in these other congregations, these new startups, these new homes. that the kingdom of God will be established. Okay? So continuing here, Yeshua does not answer their question, but instead puts them on the defense. Okay? Now, to give us even a more understanding of the shock that was going on in front of these leaders at the temple, we have to also look at Mark chapter 1, verse 21. And you know what it says there? They, Yeshua and his Talmudim, and this is at the very beginning of Yeshua's ministry. They're in Capernaum on Shabbat. Yeshua went into the synagogue and he began teaching. And the people in the synagogue were amazed at the way that Yeshua taught, for he did not instruct them as the Torah teachers did. You know what the Torah teacher would say? Well, Rabbi so-and-so says the Torah means this. Okay? Yeshua was not quoting any rabbi. He was simply proclaiming the word of God and giving the interpretation, which to them was shocking. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Where did he get his credentials from? They were amazed that Yeshua had taught them what he taught them, and he did not instruct them like the Torah teachers, but as one who had authority himself. Because you know what we don't understand many times? That in the local synagogue, you'd have the rabbi, you may have the associate rabbi, but you'd also have the board of elders. So the decisions that were made in the Messianic community and also in the synagogue community were not just made by one individual. They searched the scriptures together to interpret what the Spirit of the living God was speaking to the people. Torah teachers and scribes did not have shmikah, meaning they were not ordained as rabbis. Who were the Torah teachers? They were the scribes. They would take out the parchment there, roll it out, and they would dip in the writing instrument, and they would begin to write the Hebrew letters. Okay? They were making copies. They were looking to their one side, and they were seeing how it was written. You know who was leaning over their shoulder? But the rabbi. He'd be leaning over his shoulder to make sure that that individual did not make a wrong mark in the wrong place. Okay? Therefore, he could not bring, and I'll spell out this word before I say it, C-H-I-D-D-U-S-S-H-I-M. Chudusim. To introduce new interpretations. Okay? The Torah teacher could not give you interpretation what the Torah said. All right? Or posek hakla, which is to make legal judgments. Okay? This is why the people were so amazed and they were in shock. The Hebrew word is hitztomenu. I'm in shock that Yeshua taught like a rabbi and not like a scribe. And this was only one level of their amazement. The second level goes on of their amazement was that Yeshua taught as one who had authority himself. This is a brand new thing. All right? This is unheard of. Okay? So continuing here. No rabbi taught or judged pasak against halakha of his own rabbi. You simply followed in step of them. But Yeshua, who had no rabbi of his own, appeared to have authority beyond any of the rabbis. So this is literally blowing the people's minds that are in the synagogue this day. And I remind you that this was the beginning of Yeshua's ministry. By Yeshua's own testimony throughout Yohanan, John's chapter 5 through 9, his authority, he said, came directly from whom? But Abba, Father God. When they came to question Yohanan, they asked him, "Are you the Mashiach? Are you the Messiah?" He said, "I am one sent, and I'm unworthy even to untie his sandal." So Yohanan knew who he was. So now let us begin in Matthew 21, 23. You've had more than ample time to find your place. So now we have the background, the struggle. Because you know what's going to happen in a mere 70 years from this very moment in Scripture? The Roman legions are going to come. Titus is going to send them. And the temple is going to be destroyed. And with that, biblical Judaism is going to come to an end. And it's going to be replaced by rabbinical Judaism that has no life and is not focused on the Messiah. How can you say that? There is only one way to the Father, and it's through his Son, Messiah Yeshua. So that's what's going on right now. And so now let us get into the Scripture. Verse 23, he, Yeshua, went into the temple area, and as he was teaching, the head kohenim and the elders of the people approached him, and they demanded, what shmikah do you have that authorized you to do these things? And who gave you this shmikah? Yeshua answered, I too will ask you a question. And if you answer it, then I will tell you what shmikah I do these things. The immersion of Yohanan, where did it come from? From heaven or from a human source? They discussed it among themselves. If we say from heaven, he will say then, why didn't you believe him? Who's the him here? Yohanan. What was Yohanan calling the nation of Israel, including the high priests and the Levites? To repentance, to pass through the waters, to be cleansed, to be redeemed. Verse 26, but if we say from a human source, we're afraid of the people, for they all regard Yohanan as a prophet. Notice those words, they, not we. And who were they? They were to be the watchmen over the souls of the people of Israel. But they're in a backslidden condition, and their eyes have been blinded to the truth. Because when the word of God is spoken through a genuine, true prophet, they don't even hear it. So continuing here. So they answered Yeshua, we don't know. And Yeshua replied, then I will not tell you what shmikah I do these things. You know what's beautiful? The Spirit of the living God also gave this to Mark. Mark chapter 11, 27 through 33. And the Spirit of the living God does nothing by mistake. Repetition is the best teacher for all believers. Matthew 11, 23. And they went back into Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple courts, see, Mark gives us a little more detail here. They came to him, the head kohenim, the Torah teachers, and the elders. And they said to him, what shmikah do you have that authorized you to do these things? Who gave you the shmikah authorizing you to do them? Yeshua said to them, I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you what shmikah I do these things. The immersion of Yohanan was it from heaven or a human source? Answer me. Now in Mark, not in Matthew, he asks them to answer him that one question twice, in both verse 29 and in verse 30. There's great significance here. Because who's standing before them? But he who established biblical Judaism. He that gave the Torah to Moshe upon that mountain. He who was a friend of our father Abraham. That's who is speaking to them now. Verse 31. They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will say then, why didn't you believe him, Yohanan? But if we say from a human source, they were afraid of the people, for they all regarded Yohanan as a genuine prophet. And Matthew, it doesn't say genuine prophets. What does genuine mean? Proven, tested, and found to be pure gold. Okay? So continuing here, verse 33. So they answered Yeshua, we don't know. Then he, Yeshua, replied, I won't tell you by the Shemitah I do these things. You know what's beautiful? Not only do we have the testimony of Matthew and Mark, but we also have the testimony of Luke. And like I said before, when the Spirit of the living God has three out of the four writers of the good news and records it time and time again and gives us different insights, we need to pay attention. Because every word of God is important for our understanding, for us to be enlightened. So now let's look at Luke chapter 20, verse 8. One day as Yeshua was teaching the people at the temple, even more insight, because Luke is talking to an audience of people who have never been to the temple. And he's letting them know this has been going on for a period of time. Okay? And Matthew was written to the Jewish people. They would understand that when a rabbi comes to the temple courts, oftentimes he's called on to speak. All right? So continuing here. And what was he doing? He was making known the good news. Mark didn't say that. Matthew didn't say that. But Luke did. Because he wanted the audience that would hear Luke's message to understand that the temple was to be, and what was being proclaimed at the temple was the good news. That Abba, Father God, had sent his son to represent him. That he would die and he would raise from the dead. So Yeshua is laying down all these foundations in the hearts of the common people. You know who's sitting there? If Yeshua asked them for a testimony, there would be hundreds of blind, lame, and mute people that he could call forward to give testimony of what the Lord has done in their life in the last couple days. Can you imagine? The very first words you speak as a child because you're born mute will be praising God in this temple courts. Your eyes opened and seeing your Messiah, the very first one that you see. And the lame who could not worship the Lord in the dance are now dancing and worshiping the Lord in the temple courts. See what God has done? These great things. So the head kohenim and the Torah teachers, along with the elders, came up to him and said, tell us what Shemitah do you have that authorized you to do these things? Who gave you the Shemitah? Yeshua answered, I too will ask you a question. So tell me, the immersion of Yohanan, was it from heaven or from another human source? They discussed it among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, then why didn't you believe him? I know these things are repetitive, but you know what? As we meditate upon the scripture, it becomes life to us. Because the same authority that Abba Father gave his son, he's now passed on to you and I in certain increments to build his kingdom. So those of us who haven't gone to Bible college do not have credentials in ministry, the laying hands upon different individuals. You can operate by the power of the Spirit of the living God. Let's continue. Verse 6, but if we say from a human source, all the people will stone us. Did you hear that word? Who's that coming from? The spiritual leaders of Israel, okay? So all of a sudden the people are going to rise up in their minds, and judge the backslidden leaders of Israel, and they would be at the point of ready to stone them. There's a changing of guard that's going on here. And all the people there were eagerly, because not only this, Lazarus, a man raised from the dead, is part of Yeshua's congregation in the temple courts. And some of the common Jewish people could look at the leaders and say this, so what have you done for us lately? How have you lived out righteous lives before us? As this rabbi from Nazareth, who does not have your credentials. But we see in him the power of God being manifested as the prophets of old. So let us continue here. All the people will stone us because they are convinced that Yohanan was a prophet. Notice they're not convinced. Did they not have access to read the Torah every day? Absolutely. The word of God was before their eyes, but they become what? Blinded guys. Lame and mute. And deaf. To the voice of the Spirit of the living God. And the one that stands before them is the one that was there before them when he was 12 years old. I know the scripture doesn't say that he had a bar mitzvah, but he was 12, and he was actually teaching the Levites and the priests, and he was giving interpretation of Torah at age 12, and he was blowing their minds. How many of the temple leaders that were still alive from the time that Yeshua was 12 are now hearing him yet again? Because you know what scripture says? That later after he died and rose from the dead, that many of the leaders of Israel that were prejudiced against him and were blind and they were backslidden came to know Messiah. Let's continue here. So they answered him, "We do not know where it came from." Yeshua said to them, "Then I do not tell you what Shemitah I do these things." So you know what came into play? Politics. In today's portion of scripture, the leaders of the temple questioned Yeshua's authority. They chose to set a trap by the way they desired to question Yeshua because they were intimidated by Yeshua, right? Do we ever read in scripture where the high priest is out raising people from the dead, walking on water, casting out demons, healing the sick? No. They didn't know quite what to make of Yeshua. And Yeshua has the people of Israel following him and his teachings. Therefore, they asked a question, not to find out the answer, but to trap him, to discredit him. They are more interested in playing games and learning the truth about Yeshua. Why? Because they had all the riches and they had the power, and they did not want to share it with anyone. Even if he was literally the Son of God being manifested in their presence, their promised Messiah, they do not see the Lamb of God who's about to take away the sins of the world. Continuing. So they ask Yeshua what appears to be a simple question. They ask, whose authority is he doing these things that he does? We must remember what is written in Matthew 21. To see the things that they're talking about. Yeshua riding on a donkey, followed by his Talmudim, and pilgrims, they are entering Jerusalem to celebrate Pesach. Now the people are praising Yeshua and singing, "Hosanna, save us, Son of David," and laying out their outer garments and palm branches. And he's traveling over them. And immediately Yeshua goes up to the temple courts to worship Abba, Father God. But Yeshua finds something in the temple courts that breaks his heart. And he cleanses the temple courtyards because the temple courtyards are being misused. They have turned my house of prayer into a den of thieves and robbers. This is exactly what the temple leaders are questioning Yeshua on. By what authority are you doing these things? Who is this who comes from northern Israel from Nazareth? And he has now come to put a stop to something that they should have been put stop to long ago. Because the prophets, now this is spelled P-R-O-F-I-T-S. They were making for them, they couldn't put a stop to it. Why? Because they were fleecing the flock of God. and no one was pointing out their sin until Yeshua cleansed the temple. They recognized that there is truth in Yeshua's word and authority in Yeshua's action, but they decided it's better to play politics with Yeshua than to learn from him. So they ask a loaded question. It is a question that Yeshua will have difficulty answering without looking foolish in their eyes. Notice that? In their eyes. They ask, by whose authority are you doing these things? If Yeshua says of his own, then they feel they can simply dismiss him. You didn't go to our schools. None of the Sanhedrin laid hands upon you. The head Kohanim, he doesn't even know who you are. Okay? If Yeshua says, Abba, Father, God's authority, they can say Yeshua is Meshuggana, Yiddish for crazy. He's simply insane, and he has overreached his bounds. Right? Because in the people's eyes, who was to make judgment whether a prophet was of God or not? But the head Kohanim, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sanhedrin. But you know what? They missed the boat with Yohanan, did they not? But Yeshua doesn't allow them to sweep that underneath the rug. That's why he brings up Yohanan, the one that preceded him. So continuing, they also at the same time are calling Yeshua's credentials into question. They have received training from their schools. They had the backing of the temple in Jerusalem. Yeshua had none of these. Yeshua was a wandering rabbi who had been a carpenter in the past. And that's all they're seeing him as. But you know what's undeniable? The word of God that he's speaking, the action of authorities that he's doing, and the power of God that's being manifested in and through him is undeniable to them and the people. So they have to discredit him in a different way. See, they're sweeping aside the miracles that they've seen their own eyes just a day ago. The healing of the blind, the healing of the lame, and the healing of the mute. Just like the person that says, do not try to persuade me with facts. Have you ever dealt with people like that? I have. So, continuing. So Yeshua turns the tables on them and he fires back to them a question. Yeshua asks them a question that they cannot get away without giving an answer. Why? Because he has a captive audience. The temple court is filled and they're listening about this discussion, right? It's like two heavyweights are standing and they're circling one another in the boxing ring. A punch is thrown, right? The punch comes, and that opponent, he blocks that punch. So the other one, he does a counterpunch, right? So Yeshua is counterpunching them right now, all right? He's not throwing his fists, but it's just simply an illustration, okay? So continuing here. Yeshua asks them about Yohanan the Mercer, who went before him, who had a difficult relationship with them as well. Where did Yohanan and his immersion come from? Yeshua asked. From Abba, Father God, or from man? Wait a second. What did he just say? They can't escape now, right? Because they know that their authority is passed on by what? By man, which originally ordained came through Abba, Father God. And so they have to make a decision right here. So let us continue here. How are they going to wiggle out of this? Yeshua put them in the same position that they had put him in, and they did not like it, right? This simple-minded carpenter's son from Nazareth, and he's standing toe-to-toe with the head Kohanim and the Perishim, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. Hundreds, thousands against one. That's really what's going on here. Did you notice that the temple leaders didn't talk about whether they believed what Yohanan had taught was or was doing had any merit on their own personal lives according to what is taught in the Tanakh? Did you notice that? They chose to look at it from a political perspective. All right? Well, that's your political opinion, Yeshua. How will our answer make us look? That's all that they do. Polls. Okay? Where do we get polls from? What's the mind of the people? What's their whim this day? Are they to the right, to the left, or are they to the center? Okay? If we say Yohanan's immersion was from God, then we'll look bad for not listening to Yohanan. If we say it was from man, then the people may stone us because they believe Yohanan is a genuine prophet. They couldn't say Yohanan's teaching was from God because they would then have to submit to Yohanan's call to repentance, which was God's design in the first place. Because I tell you this, when the leaders of the messianic movements throughout the world go through times of repentance before the Lord, then great revival will be established throughout this whole earth. And who's going to bring that about? But the Spirit of the living God. So let us continue here. Their pride wouldn't allow them to do such a thing, so they were caught between pride and cowardice. So they chose their third option. Here's how they wiggled out. They would claim ignorance and lie about Yohanan and his immersion. But just think about that. I want to keep my stuff. I want to keep my power. But I'm willing to pay the price of losing my salvation, my personal gift of God, who I'm speaking to and looking eye to eye, and I'm trying to discredit him. That's what's going on. See how depraved and lost they were? How could salvation come in and through Israel with them leading at the helm? Impossible. Because the enemy of their souls and ours had deceived them. Let's continue here. So that is what they decided to do. They said, we do not know where Yohanan's teaching came from. They simply had too much at stake to tell the truth. I do not want to lose what is mine. Kind of sounds selfish, does it not? There are times when the Spirit of the living God allows a spiritual leader to be disrobed before our eyes. You know what's amazing? We're always shocked, are we not? Because those things that leader desired most of all was not to please the Lord, but what was in for themselves. Building their kingdom and having people follow them. The pride of life. Does it happen in the body of Messiah? Absolutely. And that's why he allows for spiritual leaders to be disrobed from time to time. That the people's eyes would get off their idol, who is their spiritual leader, and put them place back on the one who will receive all praise and glory and honor. We're people who are being led by the Spirit, not by spiritual leaders. Underline that. It is the Spirit of the living God that speaks to your heart, soul. It's the Spirit of the living God that reveals and convicts you whether things are true or not. It is the Spirit of the living God who will one day present you to Abba, Father God, to marry his son, Yeshua, as you being the bride of Messiah. It is not spiritual leaders. They're your simple co-workers in Messiah. Do not put them on a pedestal upon your life. They will fail time and time again. Let's continue here. He calls us to submit Yeshua. I forgot a line here. I go back to it. Yeshua was not playing games with them. Today, he doesn't play games with us either. Right? He calls us to submit to his authority. For Yeshua is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Where's that from? Revelations 19:6. It says this, on his robe, on his thigh, his name is written, King of kings and Lord of lords. What are the two banners that we have here? King of kings and Lord of lords. Let's continue here. Yeshua is Lord of every aspect of our lives, our personal life, our marriages, all our relationships, our work, our leisure, etc., all of it. Yeshua calls us into repentance. The very teaching of Yohanan that the head Kohanim and some of the Torah teachers and elders refused to acknowledge. Did you notice I said some, not all? Because the word of God does not return void. And it did bring some of them to repentance. Joseph of Arimathea. Yeshua calls us into repentance. Yeshua had divine authority over all creation, even those who questioned his authority. But in a few days, Yeshua would submit to human authority, even to the very people who questioned his authority, his shmikah, that Yeshua would be executed for the sins of all people, for all time. Our salvation, who is Yeshua, was accomplished through the submission of the one who possessed all authority in heaven and on earth. Isaiah 53:7 was fulfilled. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Ultimately, Yeshua's divine shmikah, or authority, would be revealed once again in his glorious resurrection from the dead, an exclamation point. Yeshua's victory over sin and death opens the door for the kingdom of Abba, Father God, to all believers repenting of even the greatest sins. All shmikah, all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to whom? To Yeshua. Shabbat shalom.